so much can distract you from achieving your goals and dreams. Is there a way to balance your work with other things you enjoy doing that will not make you feel like your time is being abused? At Born to Lead program, we help you to discover or rediscover your purpose or plan for life. We tell you how to find purpose in life. We are all born with a purpose. Join us on the journey to discover how other people have successfully achieved their dream or are on the path of doing so, and how you can do the same. This is Born to Lead. My name is Kizito, and I'm your host. Join us here now on 104.6 Planet FM.
Welcome.
afternoon, Auckland. Good afternoon, the nation's business capital. You are listening to the Born to Lead Show, coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM. And my name is Kizito. And as usual, I'm your host for today. It is a special end of year show with a very beautiful two people I have here in the studio that we're going to be interviewing very soon. This is the very last show of the Born to Lead Show, coming to you live from Planet FM 104.6. So wherever you are, listening to us live from the studios of Planet FM, a very Merry Christmas to you all. So that's from the famous Osibisa band, that is Welcome Home. I'd like to welcome you once again to the Born to Lead Show, the very last show for the year 2018. So I'll be introducing my guest to you on the show very soon. So it's going to be a very fantastic show today. Two lovely people I have here in the guest as my guest. So if you're tuning in on Facebook, thank you all for those who just tuned in. Nelson Kalira, and you just tuned in on Facebook. I'm sure you're one of the friends of our guest here. So just feel free to tune in. If you are just listening to us, you can go to my Facebook page. Just turn it on, and then you will be live with us on Facebook. Thank you for tuning in as well. That is our own Reverend Friday is in the house. Thank you, Reverend Friday. Thank you for tuning in. Professor Associate Assad, thank you for tuning in as well. You earlier, so we have very fantastic people in our midst today. So I'm gonna do a very quick introduction, and probably we'll talk more. I'll give them the opportunity to talk about themselves a bit more. So I will just do the intro, and then they will do the talking. So two lovely people I have here in the studio for the very last show for 2018 on the Born to Lead Show. So these two people are the leaders of the El Shaddai Kinetic, which is, I think, the youth and the young leaders group of El Shaddai Worship Center. So, and they are both extremely passionate about young people and youth, you know, equipping them spiritually, and not just spiritually, but intellectually as well. So they give them both, you know, spiritual and physical food. And the man, there's a lady and a young man. So the young man is what we call an enterprise architect, very fancy, you know, profession. You know, he's an enterprise architect in the banking sector. And then the lady, I nearly said the name. Okay, doctor is also a scientist in the field of what we call the diagnostic research. You know, they are very, very busy people as well. And they've been able to find time, you know, to join us on the very last show on the Born to Lead Show for 2018. So without much ado, I'll introduce Dr. Paulina and Danny. welcome to the show. Say Mwenga, is that right? That's the last name, Mwenga. Sorry, my Zambian friends, forgive me if I'm not pronouncing the last name very well. Pastor Friday, please forgive me. You know I'm a Ghanaian, and yeah, I'll keep learning your language. So Mwenga, thank you, Member of Parliament, Melissa Lee, for tuning in. Michael, Reverend Michael, thank you for tuning in as well, on live on Facebook. So welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Welcome to the show once again. I think you are live now. Yep.
Cool.
So, tell us. So, Daniel, I would like to start with you. Yes. Where from this fancy, you know, name? What is it?
An enterprise architect.
Enterprise architect. What is it at all? What do you do?
The best way to explain it, basically, think of an architect that builds a house. What they do is they draw up the plans, they think about how the house will sit together, they look at the structure, the materials, and then basically they do the whole thing. That's good. They do the planning part of it. So within my field, that's pretty much what I do. So I have business problems, and I go in to actually solve those business problems as an architect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of pretty much the best way to explain it.
Okay.
Yeah. Beautiful. So that's in a world of banking and information, of course, yes.
Yeah, awesome. And for those of you who are listening to us on, you know, on the radio, you may not know, they have a beautiful, gentleman here. Is it Alexandra?
Alexander.
Alexandra. Alexander.
Alexander.
Yeah, Alexander the Great.
Yes.
So that's their son, very handsome, you know, young man in the studio with us. I'm sure those on Facebook, you know, can see him.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, very beautiful one. So, Paulina, tell us a little bit more about what you do. You are a scientist, right? Dr.
That's
Paulina.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
so
right.
we'll add more flesh to the bones for us.
Okay, well, I basically put on a lab coat when I work in the lab. And so in the company, I work for a biotech company, and we're trying to provide a cheaper, reliable way of diagnosing diseases.
Yeah.
That's been a nutshell, yeah.
Wow, awesome. Yeah. So, and how long have you two been working together in the ministry?
Oh, that's an interesting question. We've been married for almost 10 years. Can you believe it?
Wow.
I know it's hard to believe. And I think that's probably how long we've been working together then.
Yeah.
I think once we got married, we just kind of started doing
things. So it wasn't before?
Not really. I'd probably say about 10 years, right?
Okay.
No, a bit less than that.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, all right, that's cool.
No,
so you didn't meet her through the ministry?
No. We met at university.
At the university, wow.
Yes.
So instead of you to go and study, you were kind of, your eyes were open.
Well, you have to study with one eye open, like Reverend Friday says, you have to pray with one eye open.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah. I know Friday will say that, you know, pray with your eyes open, right?
With one eye open, not both.
Wow, that's great. Fantastic. So tell us a little bit more about EWC Kinetic. You know, what is it about?
About Kinetic?
Yeah.
Well, EWC Kinetic is a youth group. It's a youth and young adults group, obviously, of El Shaddai Worship Center based in Onehunga. We have about, now it's about maybe 20 to 25 youth and young adults. We had more before, but obviously, you know, people have grown up and people have moved on. And we meet every Friday. We have a really vibrant and exciting youth, that we just are so privileged to be in their lives and just kind of share some of our experiences with them and sort of hopefully guide them along, you know, along life, basically. But they're a bunch of absolutely talented and amazing people, for sure.
Wow, awesome. Do you have anything to add to that, Dr. Paulina?
I think mostly what he said, they're very lively, vibrant, go-getters, and so it's really exciting to work with them. Yeah.
Do you, most of your programs as a church or as a ministry, do you tend to reach out to other ministries or what are some of the things you do? Because I'm interested in the the overarching impact, you know, that, you know, not just within your ministry, but, you know, outside your ministry as well.
I mean, that a couple of things, like you mentioned earlier, one of our interests is not just to reach out or, I suppose, help some of our youth and young adults spiritually, but intellectually as well, and get their mind engaged in, you know, in the world we're living in. Because at the end of the day, these people are the same ones that will go outside into the world.
Yeah.
You know, they will go to work. They will meet other people in the world. So how do you equip them? So that's one of the things that we're really interested in. You know, we sort of partner with other churches as well. We have our friends from Valley Road Churches, and we have sort of the Malachi New Life Churches. Some of our friends that we kind of, you know, we partner with. But otherwise, yeah, so that's kind of our interest in making sure that when they go back into the world, they can stand on their own 2 feet, but at the same time, they have that background with the backing of the, you know, of God, basically.
So you've been leading this ministry, both of you, right? You are co-leaders for nearly 10 years. Is that right?
No, the ministry itself about 3 years.
Three years, 3.5 to 4 years. Okay, that's good. So, what are some of the most important decisions that you have to make as a leader? You know, like leading bunch of, you know, young people who are, as in your own words, very vibrant and, and youthful, and sometimes they could be a little bit hard to manage. So how do you, what are some of the important decisions you have to make as a leader?
I mean, firstly, we need to set examples ourselves in our conduct, right? And we also need to have a, I guess, some guiding principles, you know, about everything that we do, and we need to stick to these guiding principles, basically. So for example, one of the things we talk about is that as a leader, you need to take responsibility and ownership, and we try to embody that way of thinking, you know, and ensure that you know, the people that we're leading are sort of also picking up on that. Some of the decisions that we sort of stick to, for example, is that we encourage all our youth and young adults to, as much as possible, you know, be in the house of God, right? And when they're making decisions, we all say to them, look, make sure you can consult someone, you know, with a different view, preferably someone a little bit older than you, to make sure that you're making the right decision rather than sort of jumping to conclusion, right? But in terms of, I guess, decisions from a... We don't really have to deal with that many conflicts or issues per se. Right? So I can't think of any particular sort of decision we've had to make that's kind of around conflict. I can't think of anything.
Yeah, I think some of the things we sit down and try and get right is the content. So you have a whole year with certain contents in it where you want to equip the young adults. And sometimes you can go both extremes. Sometimes it's what they call very spiritual, where they feel like it's not practical enough for them to go and use in the world. And sometimes it's so practical as well, you're not feeding them enough spiritual. So I think what Danny and I try and do is to find a balance between the two and show that it's not just a Friday. So we have our meetings on Friday. It's not just a Friday. God is not just a Friday and a Sunday God. He's an everyday God. Going to work God. University God. Having friends God. Having fun God. Having tough times God. So it's just trying to find a balance for that. Yes, that's right, Zander. Trying to find a balance for that, so that it's engaging and it's also challenging.
Beautiful. You know, we live in a world of, you know, advancement and technological changes and innovation and all that, and I'm sure with your, you know, field as as an architect, you know, you deal with that most of the time, you know, with technology and all this kind of stuff. And the other time I saw a video where young people were marrying, I mean millennials, of course, and the ring was delivered by a drone,
right?
So, and that, you see, that's where we are going, where these young people, you know, they can't, you know, live without their phones for even 5 minutes. And so you got to be creative all the time, you know, and I'm sure you guys do. So where do some of your creative thinking come from? I mean, how do you make sure that, you know, you are not, you don't look boring. You get what I mean? And always on your feet, trying to make it more entertaining, more creative, more innovative.
Yeah, look, and I think that's a really good question. But I suppose and the starting point, firstly, is that for us, there are certain guiding principles, as I mentioned earlier, fundamentals that we need to stick to, right? Meaning that, you know, we will not compromise on the things of God, basically. First things first.
That's right.
Lay that foundation. And then on top of that, you know, you can kind of play around with some of the other things that you can do within a, you know, within the youth and young adults group. So one of the things that we tend to do quite a lot is, you know, we ask most of them for ideas. What are some of the things that we can do to make sure that people are, you know, I guess we capture their imagination, right? That they are learning something and they've been challenged as well.
That's right.
So we absolutely, we try to use social media where we can. We have a lot of devices, of course, that we can use. But a key thing for me here is not compromising, basically. So don't compromise, but use the technology that's available. As you said, you know, coming from a technology background,
yeah.
I'm well aware of some of these things that, you know, that are going on in this day and age.
Yeah.
So one of the things I'm really keen for us to do, actually, and we've been planning this for some time, but it's having like an innovation day.
Yeah.
Right? You know, get all the youth and young adults to come in and then get them to design stuff. Get them to invent stuff, basically. Mm. You know, why shouldn't they be the ones inventing the new Facebooks or whatever else it is?
Yeah.
Right? You know, so they can do it. So, I mean, it's just being able to kind of, being able to balance it out again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Beautiful. One other thing I want to know, I mean, you always have to come up with some ideas, right? it's quite interesting. But so tell me, so I know, you know, some of these things come from your background being in, you know, an enterprise architect and all that. But Paulina, if you could also maybe throw a little bit more light on that, where do some of the ideas come from in terms of creative thinking?
Yeah, I think Danny and I, we talk a lot, and Danny's also an avid reader.
Yeah.
So if we would see something on the news or something we heard about at work, we'll talk about it, and then we'll ask and we'll say, oh, would this not be interesting to bring that up during a meeting? But not in a sit-down, technology is bad. We're trying to find a creative way of doing that. So, for example, we'll have a debate. We're not going to tell you it's right or wrong, but we'll form a team.
Yeah.
You say the positives of that, you say the negatives of that, and then generally at the end, it's like they weigh it out themselves and they've come to the right conclusion
That's
of why
right.
this is good and why this is bad. Yeah. So I think it's more of an interacting with the youth and young adults themselves. Sometimes you'll be talking to them and then they'll say something. You'll be like, where did that come from? And then you just sense that, oh, okay, we might have to address this because a lot of them are being led astray. Or, so just I think it's communication.
Okay.
And obviously, we believe that God, sometimes you think come up with an idea, but sometimes it's God that plants things in your heart just to cover for maybe just even one youth who might be struggling with that situation or might be wondering or pondering over it.
Okay, so your approach is not like just bottom down approach kind of a thing, but more interactive.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And I think it's really important for us to always remember that we will not always have the best ideas. Pauline and I won't always have that.
Yeah.
So it's actually getting our youth and young adults to get involved
and
tell us some of the things that need to be, you know, that we need to do that will keep them engaged and, you know, not entertained, but keep them captivated, basically.
Yeah.
And some of them come up with some really good ideas, and we're always wanting to support them.
Yeah.
So we said to them, if you have an idea, tell us. What support do you need? And let's see how we can make it work.
Yeah.
But I think that's really important for me, actually.
Awesome. All right. Dan, you've talked a lot about principles and all that, values and all that. So let's probably, you know, touch a little bit more on that. What are some of the most important values that you demonstrate as leaders or co-leaders, you know, in your ministry?
Yeah. I guess one of them I'll probably talk about, I mentioned already, is around taking ownership and responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think as a leader, it's not really about saying to someone else, oh, you're meant to do this. It's really looking at something and saying, okay, what part do I have to play in this?
Yeah.
What role can I play in this? How do I make this thing successful?
Mm.
So for me, that's a really important principle in itself around ownership and responsibility, as well as accountability as well, right? If you're going to do something, make sure that you're accountable for it. Right. Another one that I really stand by is I think integrity. Integrity is an important one.
Mm.
Integrity is basically doing the right thing when no one is watching.
Yeah. Wow. Right. Beautiful.
Yeah. Sometimes it's easy to do the right thing when there's people around you, but when no one else is around you, you know, if you can do the right thing, that's integrity. And I think sometimes we don't do enough of that as Christians.
Yeah.
So we need to do that so that in the world when we go out there, people have no reason to doubt us.
Yeah.
Because we know that they know they're going to do the right thing.
Yeah.
So that's two principles I can kind of, or two and a half I can mention.
Wow, beautiful. Do you have anything to add, Paulina?
Yes, I think for me, it would be one of the things I try and get the youth and young adults to do is just to maybe step outside their comfort zone. A lot of the times, it's either nerves or they're scared or they think they're not able to. And so I think what I try and do is things that I don't want to do, I feel like people listen to more what you do than what you say. So I will try and do it, or I will do it just so that even if I ask them and they say, oh, no, I can't. I was like, you know, when I did ABCD, I really don't like doing it, but I did it. So I think it's just the living out what it is you're preaching would be my. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Alexander want to be heard as well. Okay, I mean, you've been co-leading this ministry for some time. Have there been some times where you've kind of feel like you've let down your people? I mean, I'm talking about it could be challenges. You might define this as a failure. I don't know how you want to define it. But if you do believe in that, I mean, tell us about a time where, you know, you've kind of let people down and, you know, how you were able to, you know, manage that.
Yeah, look, that's, I gotta say, it's a really good question. And it's a very honest and open question. And to be honest, the truth is, I think Pauline and I, because we tend to talk quite a lot, and we know areas in our leadership where we probably haven't done the best. Firstly, Pauline and I are not necessarily full-time youth leaders, as it were. So we have jobs as well.
Yeah.
So we know that's an area where we cannot always give 100%. And because of that, I think some things that we know we should be doing, we're not doing. Right. And sometimes we kind of worry a lot about what impact is that having on some of our youth. So I think from my point of view, that's maybe an area where we might have, you know, maybe let some of our youth and young adults down, because we haven't always been there as much as we want to be there.
But do you get the necessary support of the church or the ministry to kind of do what you do?
Reverend Friday and the elders, they're very supportive. You know, they pretty much have our backs.
Yeah.
Right? And they know, obviously, it's a balancing act for us. And, you know, and because of that, it helps quite a lot. So we know that even though we're not necessarily here all the time and we can't do it 100%, we do as much as we can. So that's probably one area where I think, for me, we could definitely do better. Some other areas I would think about is, as I said, because we're not always there all the time, we notice that some of our youth and young adults feel neglected.
Yeah.
Right? They feel like maybe that we're not spending enough time with them, right? So that's definitely an area I think that we need to continue looking into.
Okay.
That's one area for me, I think.
All right. So are you more like a hands-on leaders? And I say that because sometimes people confuse what it means to be a manager and a leader, you know? Yeah. So if you're a team leader, you know, how do you see yourself, and what kind of style do you use for this ministry? Are you more of, you know, practical, hands-on kind of people, or?
Oops, sorry, I'm thinking it's.
Yeah, that's fine. Oh, yeah. So you get what I mean? So are you more hands-on kind of a person, or you kind of try the person who try to delegate stuff to other people to kind of, you know?
I think it's more the latter than the former, basically. Yeah. So because we are the, I guess, the main youth leaders.
Yeah.
We have other leaders within our youth as well. So I think there's about 10 of them now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we tend to always try and delegate as much as possible, right? So we don't do everything ourselves. So we say, look, this is a plan. This is what we're trying to do. As other leaders, go ahead and implement this. Go ahead and do whatever needs to be done. And we'll provide the support where it's required. So I'm more, I suppose, I can kind of let go. We can just go ahead and do it. This is how we need to do it. Let us know what help you need. You know, but there are times when you need to get involved.
Yeah. Right? How do you think that style helps them? I mean, what have you learned from delegating some of these things to, I mean, the other members of the team?
I think it's, I mean, we've been doing this for about 3 years, and I guess the one area, so what we tend to do with our program is that every couple of weeks we have two leaders that are leading the whole service, or not the service, but all the sessions for the whole month. And all we do at the very beginning is set the pace or the topic, and then they can do the rest of it. Right, and we found that it works really well if you give them enough time to plan.
Yeah,
and if you, I suppose, again, you know, sort of set the basics and the foundation. You know, they tend to just go ahead and do the best jobs, and they're really good at that. So I think it works really well when we plan it early enough in advance, and then give them early enough warning and give them the support that they need.
Do you always acknowledge, I mean, what you are good at and what you aren't good at?
Yeah, I think.
So,
I think,
what are some of your strengths?
I think, in terms of strength, if I look at myself personally, I think I can think on the spot, and I'm quite resilient, right? In that, there's not a lot of things that can kind of derail me if I've got a plan, or there's not a lot of things that can really get me down that easily, right? So I can kind of easily work through. You know, if there's a problem going on, whatever it is, right? It doesn't usually get in the way. I'll just kind of. I am less emotional. I'm more reasonable than emotional, right? And that helps me quite a lot.
Yeah.
Right? I can divorce myself from the emotion and just get the thing done, right? And deal with the emotions maybe later on.
What are some of the challenges, you are facing, or both of you? are facing, you know, with in your leadership with this particular growers, you know, UWC Kinetic. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I mentioned one of them earlier. So I think when we started off, we had about, I'd say, at one point, maybe 40, maybe close to 50 youth that used to attend, which was great. But over the course of time, that number has reduced drastically. So for me, I think that's a huge challenge. And we're always asking ourselves what the reason for that is. You know, we haven't really changed our programs per se. Maybe that's the reason. I don't know. But we are quite consistent in terms of how we deliver the messages, how we do certain things. So I think that's one area where I think that, you know, how do we continue to keep these guys engaged and not lose interest in the things of God, keep on kind of coming to youth, basically, and you know, how do we make sure that we're giving them enough, basically, to keep them? So that's probably the biggest challenge that we have.
Okay. And have you done any retreats or anything to kind of see where, you know, you aren't doing so well, and what you can do to improve? I mean, if you're able to diagnose the challenges, I mean, what I'm sure it's not just your numerical strength. There might be a challenge, but there could be other things as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, so I think end of last year, we went on a leaders retreat.
Yeah.
Right? So we took all our leaders and we hired out a batch somewhere, a place somewhere in Auckland. We spent the weekend there. And the idea was just to literally review the year.
Yeah.
Look at the things that have gone right, look at the things that have gone wrong, and plan for the next 12 months and see what changes we need to make sure that things keep on going in the right direction.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we as I said, you know, we don't try and solve the problems all by ourselves. Right, we get the support from pretty much, you know, the church leadership, and some of our youth leaders are pretty good at that as well. So they get involved and they come up with ideas of some of the things we should do.
Yeah.
So we try and implement some of these ideas during the year, basically.
Yeah. Right?
And I think the point you made is quite important there. It's not just so much about the numbers.
Yeah.
We also need to make sure that we can at least ensure that those that are there grow.
Yeah.
Right. How do we make sure that, you know, fine, some of them might have moved on for whatever reasons, but those that are there, how do we make sure that we keep on giving them stuff that will grow, that will make them steadfast?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably quite important. Yeah.
Wow, awesome. I mean, working with youth people or young people could be very challenging, as I said.
Oh, yeah.
How do you get to the point where you're able to get, if not all, most of them, to accept your ideas? If you've got something that you feel this is good for my group or this is good for these young people, how do you get them to accept your ideas?
It's an interesting one, that one as well, because it's I think most of the programs that we tend to have, we base them on some of the things that we wish we were told when we were growing up as well.
Yeah.
Right? And I suppose the other thing is that we don't always try and get everyone to 100% agree with everything that we say. Right? I think that's impossible, right? So I think the best you can do essentially is when there's something that you're quite passionate and you think it's a good lesson to teach and to share, you go ahead and share that. You might reach 80%, you might reach 70%, you might reach 50%, right? I don't think for me you could always get that 100% all the time, right? It's just being making sure that you can, you know, stand on that thing that you're teaching and don't back out. Right, literally just go for it, right? So yeah, I don't think you'll always get everyone to agree, for sure. And we've seen that there's certain things that we've talked about, there's certain lessons that we've had where, you know, some people have felt offended, some people have literally felt like maybe we're having a go at them, but that was not the case.
Yeah.
But at the same time, someone else comes back and say, you know what, I really needed to hear that. Right? So I think it's just making, again, having that right balance between looking at the topic and the lesson and knowing that it's the right thing to talk about and teach, right?
Yeah.
And as I said, you know, you reach some of them and some of them you just can't. So they just kind of, you know, just got to deal with that.
Yeah. Working with young people could be very challenging sometimes. And you constantly need to motivate them. You know, you need to find a way, an innovative way to kind of, you know, make sure they are always in tune with what, you know, the direction or the way you're going as a group. Okay. How do you motivate your people or the young people that you work with? I mean, are you the leadership by example kind of a guy or your constructive feedback type? I mean, how do you make sure that people are motivated, you know, in your group?
So our leaders, we do tend to have some one-on-one sessions. So Colin and I are really keen on this. We make sure that for all our leaders, at least we have a meeting with them or a meetup. So they either come to our house and spend the day there. We just spend time talking and discussing things and looking at their lives, looking looking at our lives. So that's one way to do it. And the other part around motivation, I think that's important, is around just building those relationships.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if we can have those solid relationships with our leaders and our youth and young adults as well, it makes it so much easier for them to buy into the idea of whatever it is that we selling, for lack of a better term, right? So for me, motivation has to be based on us, first of all, building that solid foundation of relationship.
Yeah.
Right? Have a relationship with them first. Get to know who they are, right? It's not just about standing in front of them and giving them or telling them what to do,
yeah,
or telling them don't do this or do that. It's about getting to know the person, right? If you get to know the person, know what moves, what doesn't move them, then I think once you have that, it's much easier to motivate them. Because you understand. So your motivation is based on you know who the person is.
Yeah.
Right? You said to them, oh, I know you're interested in this. How about you try it? Then it's easier to deal with them that way. So relationship. So it's based on relationship.
What are some of the most difficult things, or what is the most difficult part of being a youth leader? I mean, dealing with these young people, what could you say would be the most difficult thing?
I guess the hardest thing for me personally is to always remember not to blame yourself for some of the things that happen, for example, right? So we've had instances where some things have happened with our youth, and as a leader, you ask yourself a question, you know, what could I have done differently?
Yeah.
You know, would I have said something that would maybe might have influenced the situation a little bit differently? So it's knowing, I guess, again, taking responsibility, but knowing not to blame yourself for things that are outside of your control.
Well, beautiful. All right. Thank you very much, Danny. So with us in the studio today on the Born to Lead Show, is, we have Danny and Dr. Paulina, who are the leaders, if I should say the co-leaders of EWC Kinetic, which is the youth ministry in El Shaddai Worship Center. Thank you for those who have tuned in on Facebook. Thank you very much. So we'll go for a quick music break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Don't go away.
I wasn't meant to have these on.
Thank you all for tuning in. So those who are listening to us live on Facebook, this is the very last show of 2018 for the Born to Lead Show. And with me here are the co-leaders of the EWC Kinetic, which is the youth ministry for the El Shaddai Worship Center. Thank you, Gabi, for tuning in all the way from Sydney, Australia. And Moha listening to us as well. Danny Mwenga. Oh, yeah. Well, that's a good one. As well as you, all of you are listening to us live on Facebook. Thank you as well. And if you just tune in, thank you as well. So we have very fantastic people with us in the studio today. That is on the Born to Lead Show, which is the very last show for 2018. And we are learning a lot about youth ministry. So wherever you are listening to us live, either from Zambia, Ghana, you know, USA, China, Australia, New Zealand, wherever you are listening to us, this is the Born to Lead Show. And with us today are the co-leaders of the EWC Kinetic, that is the youth ministry for El Shaddai Worship Center in Auckland, New Zealand. A We have Dr. Paulina and Danny, who are the leaders of the youth ministry in El Shaddai. So thank you all for those who are listening to us live on Facebook. And a very Merry Christmas to you guys all. And hopefully we have a very fantastic program for you when we enter the year 2019. So if you are listening to us on Facebook and you've got any question for Danny and Dr. Paulina, just feel free and post them on my Facebook page, and I will be more than willing, I'm sure they'll be more than willing to answer those questions as well. So if you are listening to us live on Facebook, just feel free to post any questions or comments you've got, and we will ask them for you on your behalf. So if you're just tuning in, you are listening to the Born to Lead Show. Indeed, it's a beautiful sunshine day. Coming to you live from Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland. That is the Sunshine Day track by the Osibisa Band. So thank you once again. So if you're just tuning in, you are listening to the Born to Lead Show. And with us today, thank you, Panisha, for tuning in. It's Danny and Dr. Paulina, who are the co-leaders. Thank you, Janice, for tuning in on Facebook, of the co-leaders of EWC Connecticut. Kinetic. It's a very fancy name, of course. That is the youth ministry for the El Shaddai Worship Center in Auckland. Thank you once again for joining us, Danny.
Thank you for having us.
All right, so tell us, before the break, we were talking about all this motivation and all that, yes. You know, and some of the important things that you guys have been doing, you and Paulina, have been doing the ministry, which is quite great. Let us know, what is the most important thing in your ministry or your organization? What is the most important thing?
What do you mean in terms of within Kinetic?
Yeah.
The most important thing within Kinetic. It's an interesting question. I've never thought of it that way, but I guess, again, you know, if I had to choose something, I'd go back to relationship, yeah. I think. For me, I think that for anything to flourish that involves people, there has to be relationship. And relationship has to be two-way. It's got to be genuine too, right? So, again, you know, as I said, I've never really thought of that question, but if I had to pick something, I'd probably say, you know, relationship is probably the most important thing.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, you as a person in your ministry, what is more important to you? Would you still define it that way? Or as a group, would you say the relationship is the most important thing?
Oh, I guess if you ask me, I'd probably say that, but it'd be interesting to see what the others say.
Think, yeah.
Because I don't know what the others think. But personally,
do you set up goals and missions and values and, you know, do you do those kind of things as well, that maybe this year, this, or for the next 5 years, maybe this is our goal as an organization or as a group or as a ministry, you know, you get what I mean? So what are some of the things that you could say is most important to you as an organization?
Okay, I understand. Okay, look, I think one of the areas that we, Paulina and I, talk about the most is, again, how do we ensure that we can have youth and young adults that have a solid foundation of faith in God, right? But at the same time, they live in this normal world we're living in, yeah. right? So that I think you need to be able to survive in this world. So you need to firstly use your mind.
Yeah.
At the same time, you need to have the Spirit of God in you as well, mm-hmm. right? So for me, I think, again, if I understand your question, so having a right balance of bridging the gap between the mind and the spirit is absolutely important. And we talked about that in our last youth conference.
Mm-hmm.
It's vitally important to make sure that, first of all, our spirits are connected to God. Right, because that's what sustains you when you know you challenge mentally.
Yeah,
and the other side is that you also need to be. I think you also need to be challenged intellectually. You also need to know.
Yeah,
right. Knowledge is important, right? Because if you don't know, how are you gonna how are you gonna make decisions if you don't know?
Yeah,
right. David knew his God.
Mm.
Jesus knew his Father.
Mm.
Right. So we also need to know. Right. So for me, those two things are really important.
How do you communicate that to the young people that you're dealing with every day?
So as I said, if you look at the program of things that we do within our youth group throughout the course of the whole year, some of the topics we talk about actually, for example, we had a whole month dealing with the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Right. We had a whole month dealing with knowledge and wisdom. We had a whole month, for example, dealing with financial literacy. We had a whole month dealing with stewardship. So we have these really chunky, meaty topics that we set for the whole year, because we know that if we can actually talk about these and discuss these openly and give the people an opportunity to actually add their own two bits or whatever it is and, you know, sort of exchange ideas, I think that in itself is what starts to build the foundation.
Yeah.
But again, as mentioned just before, during our youth conference start of this month, we actually had a session or section within our conference called Bridging the Gap Between the Mind and the Spirit.
Yeah.
Right? Because I actually think it's that important, especially in this day and age as Christians. Because you can't afford just to be all spiritual, you see what I mean? Because there's certain times when you're spiritually dry, right? So if you're spiritually dry, what sustains you? Right? Mm. It's a knowledge that you have, right? It's a knowledge of God. But you got to know God, so you got to read your Bible, right? You got to read other books by other Christians out there that have done the research, that know the New Testament, that know the Old Testament. You got to know all of that. Right? Because when your spirit is dry, the things you know about God sustain you. And then if you don't have the spirit, on the other hand, you know, if you're challenged intellectually, someone asks you a question that's a really tough question, the spirit of God sustains you. Right? That's why it's really important to have a balance between the two.
How do you ensure that what you do as an organization or as a ministry or as a group, you know, are aligned with the principles and the values or your core values as an organization? I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. How do you make sure that what you do every day as a group are aligned with the principles that you mentioned or the values that, you know, you have to live by as an organization?
Yeah, I mean, firstly, you know, our El Shaddai leadership is pretty awesome. You know, Reverend Friday and Pastor Dan and all the elders, they tend to set the tone at the start of the year. So we have a theme usually that we have for the whole year.
Yeah.
We have leaders meeting at the church level first, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where some of these things are set, right? So we tend to take some of those discussions at that level and bring them down to our youth as well. So we try to align whatever we do within a youth group with what the church is doing overall.
Awesome. If I should ask you, what is a leader's best, greatest asset? What would you say?
Leader's greatest
asset. As a leader, you know, what is your greatest asset?
Oh, as a leader, what is your greatest asset? I'm trying to think now. How do you put that? Greatest asset as a leader? I think, for lack of a better term, being able to remove roadblocks. For people, right? I think being able to make a way for someone to succeed.
Yeah.
I think as a leader, if you can do that, if you can actually help someone else to succeed and grow, I think for me that's a great asset.
Yeah.
Imagine all leaders could do that.
Mm. Awesome. All right. I'm sure you've read a lot of books. You've followed people, men of God, people who are motivational speakers and all that. I mean, from your experience, you know, as a person, as an individual, if you are to say, okay, so what is the common thing that I could find among leaders, or what would that be?
If I guess think of a couple of leaders that inspire me. For example, the Ravi Zacharias, or even some of the people in the world, like the kind of the Bill Gates.
They don't necessarily have to be Christians.
Like, but for example, the Bill Gates or the Mark Zuckerbergs, whatever. Yeah. I think it's having a vision, right? Having a vision and following through, basically, and also not being afraid of failure. Just because you fail at something does not necessarily mean that you are a failure.
Yeah.
It just means that you need to find some other ways of trying.
Mm.
Right? I know of a story of a lady, I think, that failed her driving test over 100 times, I think, or something like that.
Wow.
Driving test that many times. But she eventually passed. Right? So I think that's a really important one. So, have a vision.
But that's a different... That could be a similar version of Edison.
That's right. Imagine failing 100 times and still continuing. So just because you fail at something once or a couple of times or even 100 times does not make you a failure.
Yeah.
Really important to remember that. Yeah. So as a leader, don't be afraid of failure.
Wow. Awesome. How do you handle a time where you had to make difficult decisions, as a leader?
If I look at myself, as a leader, you have to expect that there's a certain time to make the hard decisions and just go ahead and do it, right? Obviously, there's a heart part of it and there's a mind part of it, of course. You know, emotions get involved in making decisions.
Even in a situation where the people above you are not in favor of what you're doing, and that is the right thing to do. How do you handle that?
When it comes to leadership has got hierarchies, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
Right? And if there's a hierarchy, you are meant to, respect that, for lack of a better term. So if we have an idea, there's something we want to do, and our leaders said, oh, no, that's not a really good idea. Yeah, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. Right? Again, for me, I think that's one of the characteristics. If I had to go back to the other question,
that's right.
As a leader, you need to be able to, when someone says to you, let's not do that, right? It's okay sometimes just to take a step back, right? So, not afraid to try something out, and for our leaders to say, no, let's not do that. That's okay. Not a problem. And we've learned to do that. Yeah. Not all of our ideas, get accepted.
Awesome. What is your style of leadership, Danny? How do you lead? I mean, what is your style?
I guess two things firstly. So in my work, outside of church, I'm a leader as well. So previously I had a team of, I can't remember how many people I was. And one of the things when it came to work in terms of leadership is, again, I always wanted to remove roadblocks for people. How do I make sure that someone can succeed in what they do? Right? And not always thinking that I've got all the answers as well. Right. So I was really interested in finding people or leading people that were actually smarter than me. Right. Because, if I can actually find a way of actually making that person succeed even more, even better. So how do I, for me, that's one of the styles I look at, is find a way to make someone succeed. Open doors for them. Make it easy for them. So that's from a work side.
And you don't feel threatened by that?
Oh, no, absolutely not. Oh, there's smarter people out there who are much, much smarter than I am. Right?
But that's a difficult thing to do. I mean, a lot of people don't go down that path to kind of, you get what I mean? For just very simple reason.
Yeah.
Look, threat.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Here's the other thing as well, is you have to be self-aware as well. Yeah. Right? Mm. What I mean by this is that, at the end of the day, we are human beings. Sometimes that thing comes on you, like, oh, well, this person might be better than me. You know, that's not a bad thing if you have that thought in your mind. Mm. It's how you deal with it. Right?
Yeah.
It's been able to be like, that's how I'm feeling right now, but I choose to respond to it differently.
Mm.
But I'll be lying if there weren't certain times when someone came over and I'm like, oh man, this guy is really, really smart. And I feel threatened. Just finding a better way of dealing with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not letting that stand in the way of you helping the person out. Not easy, but can be done.
Awesome. So you as a person, Danny, have you ever taken a job that you are not qualified for?
I don't necessarily think so, because I've only actually maybe one. Okay,
yeah.
Maybe one.
What could that be?
I think when we started the youth leadership, that's not a proper job. I take that back. I'm not saying a proper job. I'm saying that wasn't like a paid.
I get what you mean. Yeah.
Kind of work. Yeah. But I think when we took on that particular role as youth leaders, we were not qualified for that in any way, shape, or form. We just did it because of obedience.
Mm.
But there was a gap that needed to be filled. There was a need in the house, and we said, let's just do the best we can. Yeah. So there you go. So that's one thing that we just were not qualified for, right? Even now, there's still a lot of learning that we're going through.
But you've been delivering diligently. I'm sure if you're not, Pastor Friday would have taken you off by now. The Pastor Friday I know would have taken you off by now.
I'm sure you're not delivering. I'm sure he would. That's right. Yeah, so there you go. So that's one area I think we're not qualified for. Awesome. I'm not even close.
And you believe that you are doing the best you can to...
Yeah.
All right. So tell us, what is one characteristic that you believe every leader should possess? I mean, if you should just mention one, and probably why you think that every leader should have that.
Resilience.
Mm. Why is that?
Simply because things do go wrong. Things do fall apart.
Yeah.
You will make the wrong mistakes.
Yeah.
Or you make the mistakes, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You will make the wrong decisions. People will go against you as a leader. People won't always agree with you as a leader. But if you're resilient, right, if you're able to kind of withstand, right, able to bounce back as a leader, I think for me that's, that's quite important. Yeah. And I want more of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Christmas.
Yes.
And a lot of people think about Santa and all that parade and all those kind of things, which is fine. Mm. But when it comes to Christmas, I mean, how do you define Christmas? Why, you know, what should be at the center of Christmas in your perspective as a minister?
Interesting question. Very different from the previous ones. But it's kind of, I know people say it all the time, but, you know, the reason for the season is Jesus. We kind of know that. I think, well, as Christians, we know that.
Yeah.
Right? You know, we're living in a world that is not, you know, necessarily Christian, per se.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I think for some of us that profess to be Christians or kind of have that worldview,
mm-hmm.
we need to always remember the significance of this season. You know, Jesus might not have been born on the 25th of December.
That's true.
That's not so much a problem.
Yeah.
But I think it's really what it signifies and what it reminds us. Mm-hmm. It's the coming of Emmanuel, God with us.
Yeah.
You know, that's the time that we are remembering, right? And that is probably the most important thing for us as Christians, always keep at the back of our minds. Everything else that we do is literally just kind of add-ons.
Yeah.
Firstly, is take a step back. Remember that literally God himself, right, came as man to come and offer himself as a sacrifice, right? So that's kind of what we should keep at the back of our minds as, you know, as Christians especially.
What do you expect Christian brothers and sisters to do? I mean, should they just do something just among themselves or probably reach out? What do you expect them to do at this season?
I mean, it's a good question, Matt, and I like the way you started that. And it's actually a really good point in that, yes, as much as it's good for us to always remember, is also, you know, there are people out there that don't know anything about Christ, about Jesus, right? So maybe it's a time to share some of that gospel messaging. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So no, let's not just be in our own houses and our own churches. Yeah, let's share a message of goodwill. That's what it's about at the end of the day, right?
Well, awesome. What will be your last word on the Born to Lead show at this festive season, Danny?
Our last words would be, you know, relax, remember the reason for this season, and just because you fail at something does not make you a failure. It just means try a different way.
Awesome. Would you say something on behalf of your beautiful wife, Paulina? Since Alexander has taken her time.
Yeah, Alexander's having his milk now. It's sleep time. But thank you for having us.
Yeah.
I think it's it's totally unexpected. Obviously, you only contacted us 2 days ago. it's been really good. Thank you. Really appreciate it. And thank you for Reverend Friday and for allowing us to do this as well. And for our wonderful youth and young adults group for just, you know, putting up with us as well and giving us an opportunity to be in their lives as well. We really appreciate it.
Awesome. All right. Thank you very much for being on the show again, Danny. All right. So that brings us to the end of today's show. So we had Danny and Dr. Paulina on the show. So thank you all for those who tune in. That is a comment from your Reverend Pastor Friday. He said they are the best leaders I know. So I think you've got the tick, Danny. Because if you didn't, you've been fired by now.
Yeah.
I know Friday very well. I know Reverend Friday. So thank you, Reverend Friday, for the beautiful comment. All right, so that brings us to the end of today's show, which is the very last show for 2018. Thank you all for those who tune in. Thank you. Is it a great show, Kizito? Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. We really appreciate it, Reverend Friday. Thank you very much for releasing your youth leaders to be on the show today. We are very grateful. Thank you, Pastor. All right, so for those of you who are just tuning in, this is the last show for the year 2018 on the Bortoli Show. Thank you all for those who were able to tune in, those who were able to listen to us live on Facebook. We are very grateful. Thank you all, and we'll see you in the year 2019 by God's grace. Thank you. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you. Bye. Them say me no fit jump, them say you no fit jump, them say we no fit jump. Them say me no fit jump, them say you no fit jump, them say we no go fit jump. I'm a girl when you're with my boy, not a child, catch my walk, I walk, I walk, I walk.